was in the early hours of last Monday morning that the awaited hurricane and ensuing storms were to come ashore on the Gulf Coast of America. It was to sweep through an area nearly the size of the United Kingdom, leaving utter devastation in its wake. The city which was worst hit and which has focused much in the news since has been that of New Orleans. What compounded their problems from the start is the geographical location of its setting. It resides within a basin. It is below sea level on the one part, and then it is bounded by the Mississippi River in the other part. And it is a city which has defenses in the form of levees, but those were obviously insufficient in the onslaught of this hurricane. And so those surging waters breaching those barriers and those levees resulted in nearly 80% of the city being underwater. Hence, the commentator will speak of New Orleans as being drowned. It may yet prove to be the worst hurricane that has ever hit the country, both in terms of what it will cost to repair the devastated areas, but more importantly, the worst hurricane in its taking of human life. The death toll, as you may expect, is far from being calculated. There are hundreds already been confirmed dead. There are thousands which are still missing. But the concentrated efforts are to help those who survived the storms and to get some relief to them. What is not commonly known or reported is the fact that New Orleans is one of the worst cities in the States for decadent behavior. It is given over to gambling with its casinos, but it is also a city, in the words of a fellow American who said this, which held several events each year celebrating unmitigated carnal pleasure. People travel from far and wide to participate in the debauchery. The festivals celebrate the worst in human nature, numbing ordinary sensibilities. End of quote. In fact, one of the largest annual celebrations that is held in New Orleans was due to commence the 1st of September. That's just Thursday past. It is the Southern Decadence Day, but it has become known as the Gay Mardi Gras. It is said that people from all over begin to arrive on the 31st of August, and they stay there until the following Tuesday, with the main parade held on the Lord's Day in certain quarters, French quarters of the city. Who takes part in this parade? They were reckoning this year on some 100,000 sodomites, lesbians, and all the rest of it. Needless to say, it never got off the ground this year. Instead, the God of heaven, who hates sin, was to permit such a natural disaster to hit this city in particular. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that will he reap. But looking at the considerable loss of life and thinking about others who are in danger from the evil that has prevailed since the hurricane came, and the city has known all about the total depravity of man since, the question that faces us tonight is why were so many caught up in it? Why were so many people left stranded in the city in the aftermath? And we ask those questions tonight because here was a storm that was both expected, a hurricane that was being watched, a hurricane that was being warned about, and the consequences of it that would follow and would be felt. I direct your attention tonight to Ezekiel 33 and verse 5. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his own soul. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. What happens when warnings go unheeded? That's what you see in that text. Let me show you first of all here the adequate warnings. In this chapter, Ezekiel is directed by the Lord to again speak unto the people. He was to remind them not only of the importance of the watchman, who in seeing any threat coming into the city in the form of an enemy, he would sound forth a warning. And you can picture the watchman standing on an elevated position in the city walls. And he is watching across the countryside, and he is watching across the landscape to see if there's an army approaching, to see if there's any threat of danger. And should he see that, he sounds forth a warning to the people in the city. And so Ezekiel reminds them of the importance of the watchman. But also they were to face up to their own responsibilities as to what response they would give to such warnings. And in considering the natural disaster that has struck New Orleans and the surrounding district, it must be said tonight that there were the warnings given. And in a few words, we're able to see how this hurricane was being watched and what was to believe would be the consequences when it would come ashore. Let me just give it to you. On August the 27th, after Katrina, that's the name they give to the hurricane. They always give it a name of some name of a person. Sometimes it's a name of a girl. Probably the next one to come along will be the name of a boy. This one was called Katrina. And on 27th of August, when it crossed southern Florida and strengthened to Category 3, there was declared a state of emergency in Louisiana. That's 2 days before the hurricane made the land. And this activated efforts to position stockpiles of food and of water and of medical supplies throughout Louisiana and Mississippi. More than a day before Katrina hit the land. On August the 28th, the National Weather Service issued a bulletin warning of devastating damage. And the risk of devastation from a direct hit, it was well documented. At a news conference, 10 a.m. on August the 28th, shortly after Katrina was upgraded to a Category 5 storm, the New Orleans mayor, calling what Katrina was a storm that most of us have long feared, he ordered the first ever mandatory evacuation of the city. And that was before the storm even came. And what can be seen to be true in this natural disaster can certainly be also seen in the spiritual context. You've only got to think of Noah. Noah was a watchman in the face of the coming judgment of God in the form of the flood. He was that preacher of righteousness who went forth preaching of the only ark of safety and of the need to make good their escape. And yet only his family were found to take refuge in the ark. His warnings, though consistent and though prolonged, yet they went unheeded and they fell on deaf ears. And let me remind you that the Lord says, so it shall be in the days of the Son of Man. Matthew chapter 24, and the words of verse 37, hear this. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. How will it be? For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. They just went on with life. Day after day, they'd taken no heed to the preacher, no heed to the watchman. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It will be as sudden as when the flood came to this world. And what was true of Noah was true of Ezekiel. And it is true to this day, as God in His mercy has His preachers to sound forth the warnings to the lost and to the sinful soul. There are adequate warnings given to your soul. For look at my text tonight and you'll note that these warnings are that which have been told. It says, He heard the sound of the trumpet. There was a hearing of the warning. There has been a hearing on the part of the sinner of their need of salvation. And the warnings have been given as to why that is so. For you have heard how the Bible instructs us that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know that the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. We read that tonight. And that is the key, is because God's holiness and God's justice, it demands that sin must and will be punished. Will be punished. Your ears have heard the warnings. For you, dear soul, have been sitting under the sound of the gospel that has been preached. And that gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. And you've sat under the word, that word which is able to make thee wise unto God's salvation. It is not the case tonight with you. It is not the case of how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard. You have been told of your sinful state before God and where your sin is taking you to. You have been warned that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. You have been told of your need of a Savior who can save you from your sins. You've been warned. Warned often. Very often. But we see also here that the warnings to your soul have been like a blast in the trumpet. The watchman at the sight of danger, they would have sounded the trumpet, and that clarion call told to all around that there was danger at hand. The sound of the trumpet was understood in what it meant. Has the preaching of the gospel not been likened to the same thing? I read in Amos chapter 3 in the words of verse 6, shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city and the Lord hath not done it? I read in the book of Numbers of the two silver trumpets that were to be blown. They were without seam. And that speaks to me of the preaching of the gospel. For the gospel, it comes from two trumpets, the Old Testament and the New Testament. They're exactly the same. And what is the message that is found in the Old Testament and the New Testament? It's the message of redemption, what silver speaks about in the Scriptures. It's without seam, it's flawless. I also know this, that John, on the Isle of Patmos, he was to hear a voice behind him. And it says in verse 10 of the first chapter, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. The voice of the Lord sounded like the trumpet, and the preacher's business is to preach Christ. The gospel can be likened to the sound of the trumpet. The warnings sounded upon the trumpet of the gospel have been clear. They've caused many to be startled into their state before God. I think of the Apostle Paul as he preached the gospel, as he sounded it forth on the trumpet of the gospel. We read that Felix trembled as the message of redemption through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has been sounded. Many have been startled. Many have been awakened from their sleep of death. I put it to you that your ears have heard. What they have heard is a truth from God's word, as you have sat under it and preached. Many today who bear the name of a preacher, they've told their little stories. They send their people away happy. But you have heard the truth. You have heard and understood that you must be born again. There has been no uncertain sounds heard. But you know what you must do. the gospel has went forth like the sound of a trumpet. And I tell you something else. Warnings to your soul. You have been in time. As far as the preacher is aware, you have not been warned merely on your deathbed. You have not been merely warned on your 11th hour of your life. You have been warned in good time. Your body is still out of the grave. Your soul has still been given that opportunity to take account of where you stand before God. And we seek to press the matter home to your soul. For behold, now is accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And like the prophet of old, we would say to you, dear sinner, tonight, it's now time to seek the Lord. Heard the warnings. Those warnings have been on time. Those warnings have been of the gospel. The adequate warning. Let me secondly draw your attention to the disaster's actions. While the sound of the trumpet and its warnings were sent forth, while they were clearly understood, yet we are brought to consider the manner in which they were responded to. Look at the words of verse 5. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. The watchman who has been faithful in sounding the trumpet in the face of danger has done his duty. But the other side of the coin is in how those warnings are received. In New Orleans, we have already detailed something of the way in which the warnings were given. This hurricane was on its way. It was due to hit land, and the danger were such that the mayor ordered a complete evacuation of the city. Indeed, the cry was, get to higher ground. And while many heeded that call, and the long tailbacks on the Sabbath day passed up the highways were evidence of that, yes, many people made their way out, yet there were so many others, and they made no attempt of getting out. They sought to ride out the storm. They maybe thought that they knew best. Ah, sure, there have been many of these calls before. We've come through many a storm before, and we've survived it. We'll be all right this time. The reports they believed to be exaggerated. So is the response of the gospel. So is the response by many a soul when the gospel is preached. I tell you, there is the responsibility of man as they hear the sound of the gospel of God. There is the onus for the soul to heed the word and to act upon it to the salvation of their souls. When the Holy Spirit striving with the sinner's heart, and I remind you that salvation is of the Lord from start to finish. Yet when God has drew near and your soul is troubled because of sin, and the invitation goes out to your heart, there is the responsibility of man to respond and to come to Christ. For the Lord says, come unto me all ye labor and are heavy laden. He said in the word, all that the Father shall give to me shall come to me. That's God's business. But the verse goes on and says, in him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's your business. That's man's responsibility. But what action have many, and what action maybe have you taken? It has been, as the text suggests, one of disobedience. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. That's wanton rebellion. Which says in the face of God, I will not be saved. Which says before God in your heart tonight, I will not have this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, to rule over me. And maybe you've come in with that spirit and you've sat in the very pew with that spirit tonight. Maybe there's another like the prodigal son, and there is a desire to no longer be in the Father's house and under the influence of the Father's gospel. Many a young man has gone that way. And they sought to run away from the Father's God. And they sought to run away from the Father's house. And they sought to run away from the influence of the gospel in the home, thinking that they know best. Only to find that it was one of the worst, most disastrous decisions that they ever made in their life. Let me ask you, has your response to the warnings of Christ and of the gospel, has it been one of disobedience? I tell you, continue on that pathway and you will find to your peril that disobedience to the claims of Christ brings forth a Christless eternity. Let me take you to the words of Proverbs chapter 1. These are very solemn words. Proverbs chapter 1 and the verse 24. It says, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. Am I speaking to someone tonight? Is God summing up your life through those verses this evening? You can look back to many a night you sat under the word, whether it's in this church or some other place, and God was calling. And His counsel came to your soul. Ah, but yet you refused it. It says in verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, I will laugh. Your fear cometh. God's day of grace is past. Have you been disobedient and rebellious to the invitation of the gospel? Then maybe your response has been one of disbelief. You've heard how you need to be saved. You've heard of the coming judgment of God at the end of time. And can I say that judgment at the end of time will leave every natural disaster to peel away in insignificance. The very kings and the princes and the rich men will call upon the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them. Yet deep down you've heard that. You don't really believe it. Just like the countless numbers in the Gulf Coast who thought it was just another announcement from the weather forecasters to keep themselves right. And things will not be as bad as they really expect. Oh, how tragically and how disastrously wrong they were. The very best of engineering and the very best of structures of buildings, which had all the efforts and the plans and the ingenuity and the knowledge of men behind them, they were made in the aftermath of that great hurricane to be made like just matchsticks. So it will be for many a soul who's neglected the warnings through sheer disbelief. The day of the wrath of the Lamb shall come in, and who shall stand? Certainly not that soul who carelessly night after night neglected the warnings and the invitations of the gospel to come to Christ and be saved. And for them, as it was for those who disbelieved the trumpet sound from the watchman and the enemy come in, they shall be without hope. You see, Revelation 21 and verse 8 brings us to consider who will be in the lake of fire. It says, but the fearful and, underline it, unbelieving. Disbeliever. Unbelieving. Oh, the category goes on and speaks of the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. Maybe you say, preacher, I'm not a whoremonger. Maybe you say, preacher, tonight, I'm not an adulterer. But you might be unbelieving. It's very possible you're in that category. They shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Without hope. How tragic it is to be one who has no hope. Ephesians 2 and 12 says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. That's you tonight, dear sinner, without Christ. You have no hope. And you are not been caught up in a natural disaster, but something far worse. You're facing eternity without God, without salvation. And the words "no hope" are written across you as an epitaph. No hope. This action of the one who takes no heed to the warnings of the watchman are those who are sadly destroyed. And that without excuse. You see my text, it says he heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. The finger of blame can't be laid at the watchman. For the watchman has sounded forth a warning, it was heard. The finger of blame can't be pointed at God. For God in his mercy has the watchman in the city to do their work. And you've heard the warnings. But rather the blame for your destruction will lie at your own door. Your blood shall be upon you. Your blood will be upon your own head. And as the Bible states, you will be that soul without, listen, without excuse. God gave you opportunity. Your soul heard the clarion call of the gospel, but yet should that day come when hell will open up to receive you and you be finally cast into that lake of fire, then I tell you every torrent of that fire will go over your soul and it will seem to say every word without excuse. Without hope. Without excuse. That is the disastrous consequences of not heeding the message of the gospel. But thankfully, that doesn't need to be your portion, for I want you to see finally here the delivered soul. There is a way of deliverance. As this text of Scripture bears out, it says, he heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Your soul can be saved from sin tonight. And that from the torments of the punishment of sin in a lost eternity. But for that to be the case, then you need to make preparation. For that to be your hope and your assurance, you need to make the preparation. Those who heard the warnings to flee for safety in the face of the coming hurricane were to make necessary preparations. They got themselves together and they had the resolve that they were not going to take a chance, but they were going to flee when they had opportunity to do so. And sadly, there's many a man, and they may sit before this preacher night after night, and you're taking a chance with your soul. You're taking a chance, spiritually speaking, and the words of the Savior are worth remembering. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? There's maybe many a man in New Orleans, and he worked night and day. He ate, he lived, he slept his work. But where is it tonight? It's underneath the water. It means nothing to him. And you can live and work and sleep your work, and all at the end of the day, lose your soul, man. You have a soul to be saved. You have a soul that will live as long as God lives. And it can be saved tonight. But hear me, it can be lost. lost. Soul to be saved. How is it with you tonight? You need God's deliverance and praise His name. That deliverance has already been purchased. For God's dear Son, even the Lord Jesus Christ, made His soul an offering for sin. He willingly gave Himself on the cross. And He did so, firstly, to satisfy God's holy justice and to glorify His Father, and secondly, to redeem His people from their sins. That's the work of the cross. And He obtained eternal redemption for His people by paying the price of sin in His own body on the tree. Christ died and shed His blood that you might be saved and that you might have heaven. I wonder, have you the assurance of heaven tonight? You made that preparation by repenting of your sin and by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. For the soul that does, do you see my text? There's the promise. Not only the preparation, but the promise. He that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. You see, the promises of God are sure. It is not maybe there. It is not possibly, it is not a hope that your soul shall be delivered. You know, you ask somebody, are you going to heaven? Well, I hope so. I'll tell you, I'd like to be a bit more sure than that. You need to know so. And the word says, but he that taketh warning shall. Shall. There's a certainty of the promise. God's promises are not like man's promises. God's promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Remember the Philippian jailer? And that night, in the aftermath of another natural disaster, that time it was an earthquake and he was heard to cry, what must I do to be saved? What was the answer? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt. Thou shalt be saved on thy house. Will you take God at His word tonight? Will you lay hold upon this promise on the authority of God's word? I tell you, if you do so, man or woman, you shall go home with a delivered soul. You see, that can be your experience, all because of the plan of God's salvation. The cry in New Orleans was to escape to the higher ground. And the ground that you must get to tonight, sinner, is Mount Calvary. There is deliverance to be found by faith in Christ. God's plan for man's soul to be saved is unspeakably wonderful. It has proved to be so for countless numbers down through the ages, for the poor and for the rich, for the young and for the older. You see, the cry might go across the media that there were those who couldn't get out of New Orleans because they were so poor. And the plans weren't there, the plans of man failed. But the plan of God's salvation is not like that. It's where the poor. And we're all poor because we've all fallen in Adam. And the word to our hearts is, it's without money, it's without price. You see, the price has been paid. You must come. It's a plan which has proved to be wonderful for countless numbers down through the ages. It's that plan of God's salvation which has stood the test of time and will do so for all eternity. It is that plan which saw the Holy One become sin for us. And there upon the cross He met. He who knew no sin yet became sin for us. He met and He endured the storm of God's wrath against our sin. And He met it on our behalf. He died that we might live. He died as a sinner substitute. And for many who have laid hold upon Christ and salvation, we can say gloriously tonight, upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, another's life, another's death, I stake my all my whole eternity. I may ask you, are you resting your all upon Christ tonight? That is how your soul can be delivered. That is how your soul can be saved. May God help you tonight not to linger. For in the face of the coming judgment of Sodom, we read, strangely we read, Lot lingered. And he had to be forcefully taken out of that city. And he's like many another man, you're lingering. But oh, that you would linger no more tonight, neither that you would procrastinate any longer. But oh, this evening you would take heed to the warnings of God's word, and that you be saved for God's sake and for His glory. May God bless this word to your heart. For His own name's sake. Let's bow our heads, a word of prayer.